I'm going to read Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and then I'm also going to read Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Verse 1 of Romans 13 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And then verse 14 of Romans 13, verse 14 says, well, let me just read verses 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off. Somebody say, cast off. Cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on. Somebody say, put on. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on, say put on, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. My simple topic this morning is trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Just trust Jesus. You may be seated. Just trust Jesus. Put on Jesus and trust him. Trust Jesus. Father, I pray that indeed may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And may your word, dear God, the word of God, the inerrant, infallible scriptures, the word of God, that it would indeed correct, rebuke, and encourage the hearts of your people. And Father, even maybe this morning, maybe there are some amongst us this morning who have not surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them know, even as I just read, that salvation is nearer than before, that today is the day of salvation. For God, this day, save, deliver, set free, convict, give hope, give encouragement to us, your people. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Trust Jesus. Just trust Jesus. Put on Jesus. As I'm sure all of us know, just this past Friday, 35 days of a shutdown, the government was quote unquote reopened for at least 3 weeks. You know, that cost over 800,000 people to miss getting paid, 800,000 federal workers. In one report I read last week, just in the state of Tennessee alone, 560,000 small businesses were unable to receive guaranteed loans during that time. Also, just in the state of Tennessee alone, 6,700 people who worked for the government were either furloughed or worked without pay. If this situation continues to kind of crop up and go back through some of the requests and demands of the president, by March, roughly 900,000 people, low income, who own low income supplemental nutritional assistance program, we know it as food stamps, 900,000 might be adversely impacted. And those are just a few other facts, But I'm glad that on Friday, even as I was working on this sermon, I rushed out of here for a minute and to go grab a little sandwich. And I like to catch Chris Brooks when I can. He comes on FM 88.9 on Moody Radio. Has a good daytime show. But he had on a guest just this past Friday. This was before this is when the government was still shut down. He had this guy, you might want to Google this guy, a good brother by the name of Barry Black. He's a chaplain for the United States Senate. He's been their chaplain since 2003, and he was sharing with Chris Brooks online on Friday before the shutdown, while it was still shut down, the government. He said, yeah, we've been praying. I've been praying. He said, we have Bible studies. He said, he leads three Bible studies, he says, on Capitol, in D.C., week of people from both sides of the fence, if you will, Democrats and Republicans. He said, we come together. We study the Word of God. We pray. He said, I've been praying and fasting. And this is what he said. Fasting, and when the chaplain started praying, something is going to happen. I believe God is going to shake something loose pretty soon. That's what he said on Friday. And lo and behold, about an hour later, we got the announcement that it was lifted for a few weeks anyway. We as the people of God, we have the call, the responsibility to pray for those in leadership. from the president, from the White House, from the senators, all the representatives, our mayor. We are to pray for them, even though we might not agree with them, even though we might not like them, even though we might not have voted for them. We are called to pray for them. So I'm going. My prayer this morning is to kind of step through the scripture, see what God has to say about how the Christian, how we should relate to our governing authorities, how we should relate to all of, you know, we live in America. We live in the United States of America. Thank God for America. I'm glad I live in America. But America is not perfect. America has this issue, has some problems. So what should be my response? What should be your response as it relates to our political leaders? And so God has a word for us this morning in Romans chapter 13. This is not like my opinion. This is not what I came up with while I've been working all week studying. No, this is out of the word of God. I said, this is out of the word of God. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at somebody. This is out of the word of God. But as we work our way toward Romans 13, it's always good to get a good context of what we're studying. So let me just give you a quick, just a 3-5 minute overview of the book of Romans. Because see, when Paul wrote this to the Christian church in Rome, they were under oppression of the Roman government, the Jews. They didn't want the Roman people to be over them. You know, matter of fact, when Jesus came, when the true Messiah came, that was one of the reasons some of them rejected him, because they thought he was going to overthrow the Roman government. So as Paul writes this, let's get all the way to chapter 13. But before we get there, let's do a little work. I'm going to start from Romans 1, quick overview of the book of Romans. People say if you could understand this book, the book of Romans, you would have a good grasp of the whole scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, because it deals with a lot of all the important things in the Christian faith. Well, Romans 1, Paul opens it up by saying, all who are beloved in Rome, all who are beloved here in Chattanooga, called as saints. And Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I feel better already. Peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul goes in verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the change agent right there, Jesus Christ. The government not going to change us. The change agent is Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. And then Paul writes on as the Holy Spirit directs him in Romans chapter 1. He chronicles what will happen to you or to me or to anyone if they turn their backs on God. If they kind of like that young man I was talking to yesterday, if he hardens his heart and said there is no God. The Bible says even nature itself says there is a God. It says fool, there is a God. But those who turn their backs on God, Romans chapter 1, read it sometime. God begins to list a long list of sins. God said, I gave them over to a reprobate mind. It's a bad thing if God gives you over to your own mind, to a reprobate mind. We'll be doing all kind of crazy, foolish stuff. I thank God for his restraining power. I thank God for him not giving me over to a reprobate mind. And then he gets to Romans chapter 2 and 3. He kind of accents the fact that all have sinned, all of us have sinned, you, me, all of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. Then he mentions in Romans chapter 4 and 5 really how that came about. It came through a man, Adam. Sin came into the world through one man by the name of Adam, but Romans 5 tells us there's another man who came. I said there's another man who came. Some refer to him as the second Adam or the last Adam. He's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so just as sin came through one man, Adam, through Christ, we are now made right with God. Through Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody ought to be rejoicing. Through Jesus Christ, we are made right with God. Romans chapter 6, maybe why some of you didn't get a little more excited. You forgot about Romans chapter 6, which it says the wages of sin, the payment of sin, which all of us have done, the wages of sin is death. And Sister Ingram, that's not just physical death, that's eternal separation, Sister Jean. That's eternal separation from the love and the mercy of God. That means you're going to experience the wrath of God forever. That's the payment of sin. The wages of sin is death. But, somebody say but. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I got a free gift. You might not have got what you thought you should have gotten in December for Christmas, but if you got Christ, if you got Jesus, you got a free gift, the good gift. It's free to us. It wasn't free to him. It cost him his life. And so Romans 6 lets us know the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then Romans 7, Paul lets us know that, hey, he's not just like some super saint that's way out detached. Paul said, I got some issues going on in my life. Paul said, I see two things going on in me inwardly. He said, on one hand, Brother Vizo, he said, I love the law of God. I love the scriptures. I love the word. I love God. But then I see another member in me, Brother Tommy, that's waging war against that member. And that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He said, that thing I don't want to do, next thing I know, I find out I'm doing it or I'm thinking it. That's what Paul said. And he was lamenting so much that he cried out. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Can anybody relate? Oh, wretched man. Oh, wretched woman that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? I'm in a mess here. Who's going to rescue me? Oh, I'm glad he gives us some hope. He said, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus not only saves us, but he also delivers us. He gives us victory over sin. He gives us victory over sin. So Paul said, I'm glad. I'm a wretched man, but Jesus saves me and delivers me. He's the one that's going to rescue me. He's the one who rescues me. Romans 8, we love Romans 8, verse 28. Listen to what it says. It says, and we know that God causes all things. Look at all the stuff that's going on in the world and all kind of stuff going on in the U.S. and in the world on Capitol Hill. But we know that God causes all things to work together for the good, for those who love God and those who are called according to his promises. You got to believe that. If you're a child of God, you got to believe. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why this is happening, Sister Gwen. I don't know why all this is happening. But I do know this. God is causing all this stuff to work together for his glory and for my good. I see it. I might not understand it. But he's working it out for his good. And then he gets to the end of chapter 8. Listen to this. He says, for I am persuaded, I am convinced that neither, talking about the child of God, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You got to be convinced that as a Christian, Capitol Hill can't do it. The State House can't do it. Nobody, the mayor's office can't do it. Nobody can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nobody. Then he rushes on to Romans 9 and Romans 10. If you ever read through the book of Romans and study it, you need to study Romans 9 and Romans 10 together. They kind of go as bookends together. Romans 9 talks about how God himself said, I'm going to have mercy on whom I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to choose who I want to choose. That's what God said. God said, I'm going to do what I want to do as it relates to salvation, not as it relates to anything. That's where many of us get the doctrine of election from a chapter like Romans 9. But then also in Romans 10, it turns right back around and it said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You don't have to be talking, well, I don't know if I'm the elect or not. I don't know if I'm chosen. Well, if you bow out your knee to Christ, if you admit I am a sinner in need of a Savior, guess what? You are the elect. You are the son of God. And then Paul gets so excited. He gets so excited as he's writing this Romans. He couldn't even wait till he got to Romans chapter 16. He couldn't even wait, Minister Bray, till he got to the end. In Romans chapter 11, at the end of Romans chapter 11, Paul breaks out in a benediction. He said, for from him, talking about God, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him, to God, to Jesus, be the glory forever and forever and forever and forever. And let the Christian church say amen. God is the one who's in control of all things. Then, of course, Romans 12, and I'm almost at Romans 13. Romans 12, he says, therefore, I urge you, brethren. I urge you, love fellowship. I urge you, saints, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or your reasonable service of worship. God said, give him all you got. Present your bodies to him. Give him all you got, Sister Chapman. And he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So Paul, as he's written all this to you and to me, then he gets to Romans 13. Since we are redeemed, since we are born again, since we know Christ is our King, since we know God is our King, he said, verse 1 of Romans 13. He said that every soul, once again, catch the context. He's writing this to the Christians who, the Jewish, primarily Jewish Christians at this time, who are being under the oppression of the Roman government. And so he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authority that exists are appointed by God. See, saints, we got to believe our Bibles or don't believe our Bibles. Did your Bible just say that? If not, you got your pastor permission to get you another Bible. Go get you another Bible. That verse says that governing authorities, be it the president, be it the mayor, be it any type of other authoritative person, is put in place by God. See, as you and I begin to look at particular things, especially as it relates to politics or anything, you got to make sure you start off at the right position. It's critically important you start out with a biblical worldview. What does God say about politics? What does God say about the White House? What does God say about the mayor? What does the Word of God say? I just read that the governing authorities are put in place by who? Y'all are weak there. Now, it's not a trick question. The governing authorities are put in place by who? God. So whoever's in the White House. I don't care if it's Donald Trump. I don't care if it's Barack Obama. I don't care who's in the White House. Guess what? God rubber stamped them to get in there. Now, I don't want to stay there too long. I was like, as I was working on this map, I was like, Lord, don't let me, you know, just get too opinionated and all that. Now, I just lay out here at the very front. Probably 99.999999% of the stuff that the president that's in there now does, I somewhat disagree with the majority of what he does. But he's still the president. As an African American, I was excited. I love when President Obama got elected. I mean, I rah rah, shish boom bah. We got black in the White House. But I never did. But I must admit, a lot of the things that President Obama did was good, was right on point, I think. But I must admit, a lot of the stuff that he did, a lot of stuff he signed off on, was pretty ungodly. Let me just leave it right there. I'll just leave it right there. You know, I love President Obama, but he ain't God. Donald Trump, he ain't our God. Somebody said, I know he ain't my God. So, what God is saying, and what I'm trying to say this morning is, God says, those that are in authority, he has put. Now, we study in our Bibles, we know as we look at biblical history, just history in general, God uses rulers for different reasons, different things. Like, for instance, when the people of Israel, God was their king. Wouldn't that be cool? Just have God as your king. A true theocracy, Sister Candace, God is your king. The people say, no, we want to be like the other country. We want a man to be our king. And Samuel, he was upset. And God said, well, don't be upset, Samuel. They're not really mad. They're mad at me. So God said, go on, let them, you know, get their little king. They got Saul, and he was a fool. Saul was a fool. Saul, I think he got reincarnated. Saul was a fool. No, I don't believe in reincarnation. I just said that. Scratch that. Delete that out of the tape. Delete that off the record. But Saul was crazy. He was a fool. And then God, of course, raised up David, a man after God's own heart. But David wasn't perfect, but David was God's man. And then so we see it throughout the Old Testament, especially when you look at the prophecies of, you know, Isaiah and during those books and some of the shorter prophet books like Malachi and all of them. When God's people would really get off track, God would often raise up an evil king to somewhat punish them. And then sometimes God would raise up a good king to be a blessing to the country. But whoever it is, if you consider him evil or good, whoever it is, let me read you this verse. Write this down. Remember this, Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1. Whoever is in authority. Proverbs 21:1 says this. The king's heart, meaning the president or the governor or the mayor or whomever, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. And he, meaning God, turns it, meaning the king's heart, wherever he wishes. Let me read that again. The king's heart is in the hands of our God. And it's like running water. He turns it, Sister Cat, however he wants it to go. So don't get too stressed out on this stuff. God is in control. Sometimes it may not seem like it or look like it. You watch a lot of certain news reports, certain channels anyway. I mean, it's just interesting looking at getting all these different opinions on the different networks, you know, and all of them got their own little slant, and all of them got some issues, all of them got their little slant, but God is in control of all this stuff. We got to settle on that thing. We got to, you know, it kind of bothers me a little bit when you're talking to people in general. I can understand how the average person be all stressed out and all messed up. Like, oh, no, what's going to go on? So. I'm like, wait a minute. You believe in King Jesus, right? King Jesus got the final say so. I said, King Jesus got the final say so. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for them. But you know, God has the final say so. Listen, because of sin, Genesis chapter 3, God has put in systems to kind of help, in a sense, kind of help corral a sin, a wickedness, if you will. He's put systems in place. For instance, he has a hierarchical system in many areas. I'll just give you a few. You might want to write these down if you're taking notes. Like in the family, he has parents. Parents, we are in authority over our children. If you're not, something is wrong somewhere. Even if they try to rebel or whatever, God said, I'm going to put mother and father over their kids, right? Right? On your job, unless you own the job or own the company, when you go on that job, your boss or the owner of that company, he has authority over you, the employee, right? You can't go in there tomorrow and tell him, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. You won't have that job too long, probably. So it is. God has set up, you know, governing authority. He has set up civil government. That has have authority over its citizens. And here in America, we live in what we call a democracy, where we actually get to vote. We get to vote who's supposed to be in office. You know, so we get, you know, we don't live in a monarchy or, you know, where a king or queen is on it. We actually get to vote. So God has delegated authority. Now, of course, God and Jesus has all authority. Somebody said God and Jesus still have all authority. They still have all authority. But he's put these systems in place. And this is not any new news this morning from this pulpit. These systems are flawed. How you say that, Pastor? Why you say that? Well, they're run by man, mankind, men and women. We run them, so they are flawed. They're not perfect. They're imperfect. They're flawed. And actually, because of sin, God has allowed, he's even allowed the devil, he's even allowed Satan himself to have some reign, some power. Matter of fact, in John 12:31, Satan is called the ruler of this world. This world system that we live in is satanically empowered. That's what John 12:31 says. 1 John 5:18, 5:19, brother, write that down, read it later. It says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, meaning Satan, the devil. So behind a lot of our rulers, behind them are demonic and satanic powers. Let me give you some Bible on this. Read this later. We don't have time to go there this morning. But in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 14, it talks about the king of Tyre, I think it was. And really behind that king, it was really talking about Lucifer, talking about the devil. That's in Ezekiel 28, 12 through 14. Also in Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 through 13, the angel, the archangel Michael, said he was wrestling against this principality that was over a certain region. So it's really clear in the Bible that God has allowed, if you will, even the demonic forces to have some power, and oftentimes they use people who sit on certain thrones. That's why it shouldn't surprise us when we see people in history like a Stalin or like a Adolf Hitler and people like that rise up to great power and notoriety. Who do you think are behind many of those people? It's the devil himself. It's the devil himself. But even in the midst of all that, saints, we got to keep settling on this fact that God is still completely and sovereignly in control. Let me say that one more time. God is still completely and sovereignly in control. It's not like God was up in heaven. Well, I didn't know Adolf Hitler was going to do that. No, it's not like that. God is in control of all this stuff. And once again, our little minds, at least my little mind, I don't quite understand all that. I quite get all that. But God is still in control. I said, God is still in control. But man, when he gets certain power and authority, many of them anyway, are just corrupt, are just evil, like the guy over in North Korea. You know, he and our present president, you know, been going at in the past. So just you know, these people rise up to prominence and still God is still in control. So with that being said, what is the Christian's response? Verse 2 tells us. Therefore, because it just said that God puts in the governing authorities, right? Is that what your Bible said? That God puts in governing authorities. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So what is the Christian response to authority? Here it is, write this down. Obey those in authority. God said, obey those in authority. Now let me give you an asterisk. Let me give you a caveat. Obey those in authority as long as it does not go against the Bible. As long as it does not go against God's law. As long as it doesn't cause you to do something that's displeasing to God. Obey those in authority. So we submit. Here it is. People don't like to hear this, but here it is. We submit. I submit to civil authority only because God ordained it. Romans 13:1. There are a few other places too. But that's the only reason I don't have any problem submitting to civil authority. As long as they're not causing you to do something that's against God. And I'm going to kind of elaborate a little bit more of our response. Number one, though, is to obey the authorities that God has put in place. Again, we don't submit to ungodly demands. So I'm not saying that. Don't hear that from the pulpit this morning. We don't put government above God. We don't put the flag above the cross. We don't put a political party above Jesus Christ. So we obey it. And then it even goes on in verse 3 and 4. And verse 3 and 4 says, for rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Well, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to exercise wrath on him who practices evil. Like, so I'm kind of rushing through these verses. I don't want to have time to really, really unpack them. But basically what that is saying is, look, if you're doing what is right, you don't have to be fearful of the civil authorities. You don't have to be fearful of the police and those people. Now, we do know, once again, these are man systems, right? So hear me well. We know, I know, the court system is not what it should be all the time. We know, I know that the police, many of them don't do really administer justice the way they should. We know that. If I took a poll in here right now, right here, especially amongst, I've never met, and I know it's not just exclusive to us, but I've never met a black man who hasn't been handled in an inappropriate way by a police officer. I haven't. There are some. But every person I've talked to of color have had some bad run-ins with the law. Now, I'm not saying other nationalities don't. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that. So we know that some of these systems are somewhat corrupt, right? I mean, we know that. But still, as best as it depends on me, you and I need to abide by the law. If I'm speeding and a policeman comes up, I'm not going to be like, well, I don't like the police. I'm just going to try to outrun him. I'm going to try to get home. No, I need to just pull on over, take my speeding ticket, keep my hands on the dash. you know that's civil authority. Those things God has put in place to kind of help control evil. Can you imagine not having any type of police authority? Can you imagine not having any type of court system? Just it'd be like in the book of Judges, every man just doing what was right in his own eyes. You think it's chaotic and messed up now. It would really be chaotic and messed up. So again, God has put some systems in place, you know, be it political, be it, the police and all that, because of sin, because of the wickedness of our heart. So the first thing you and I, we respond by obeying what the civil authorities say. We obey what, you know, laws are passed down as long as they don't cause us to go against the true law, the word of God. Second thing that you and I can do and should do and need to do is vote. Is vote. Recently, I was in the company of somebody, and man, they were just giving, it didn't take too much to do that. It's not too hard to do, but they were just giving our president a hard, they were just going on and on. And I asked, I had to cut the whole time out. This is what I asked them. I said, hey, did you vote? They said, no, I didn't vote, man. I didn't have to. Well, be quiet then if you didn't vote. You helped put him in there. So vote, beloved, go vote. I mean, especially in the African-American context. I mean, man, we have people that died for the right to vote. I mean, over my course of my voting years, every now and then I've missed it somehow. I mean, I'd be like, man, how did I not vote? So, beloved, vote. So if you're not registered, and most of you all probably are, but get registered. I almost shouted just the other day. Ariana just turned 18 in December, and, you know, I was telling her, you know, you need to go register to vote. And sure enough, she did. She got her little voter registration card. I said, I can't wait till the next election. She and I will go together, and we'll go vote together. Yeah, vote. So obey the authority, then vote. But then also let your voice be heard in other ways. It depends on the situation. Sometimes you may need to, some marches or some protests are valid. You can't just jump in and join any cause. Let me give you just a simple reason of how once again, our response to authorities. Not just talking about D.C., I'm talking about even local or even the school system. Here's a good one. Say if you're in a particular school system and the school is not doing what it should be doing. Well, you can go talk to the teacher, of course. You can go talk to the principal. And then you can just amp it on up. We got a lot of educators in here. Eventually, need be, go to the school board. Go to the person who's over your district. There's a way to make your voice heard, you know. You know, legally and non-violent. There's a way to make your voice heard. So those are some of the ways that we as Christians are to respond to the civil authorities. You know, obey them as long as they say go against the word of God. Vote in those situations. Let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. Just recently, I wasn't able to go because we met a young man right down in the neighborhood here. We're trying to kind of minister to. And so he was at the church, Tilly, and I was trying to minister to him. He should have been in school, but he wasn't in school. So long story short, there was a meeting, though, going on at that time. Dr. Johnson, who's over, you know, the school system, he wanted to have a meeting with African-American pastors that are kind of somewhat in the Brainerd area. And I didn't get to go to the meeting, but the thrust of the meeting was he was saying, crying out for help. Really, he said, man, we just need some presence, some male presence over here in this school. I was thinking about this morning. Every young, and it really breaks my heart, every young man that I've met, the 14 years or so that I've been here, every young man. Now, I'm not saying every young man is like this. I'm just saying every young man I've met, every young man I've been able to engage in conversation and get to know, every single one of them in this general area, from here over to like Wilcox, so this general area, none of them have a dad in the home. So that's the way a Christian man, thank God for the ones that are going to be mentors up at Hardy. We can make it, I mean, it's just, I was blessed to grow up with a dad in the home. So this is not just some facts. I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, they say, but these are real stats. I mean, no young man I've met in this whole neighborhood, no young man, I'm not saying, I do see men in this neighborhood, so I know there's some men in some household, but I'm saying every young man I've met for 14 years, every one of them, no dad in the home. And almost every one of them are just crying out for male leadership. So unfortunately, that's how a lot of them get caught up in gangs and all that other stuff. So the Christian response is obey our authorities. Vote. Let your voice be heard on whatever level it can be. See, we live in an imperfect world. We know that we live in an imperfect world. So this goes on. I hasten on. Verses 5 through 7. Y'all probably not going to like this one. Verses 5 through 7. Listen to what it says. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. But because of this, you also pay taxes. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't like that one. I agree with you. I don't necessarily like that either, but we do. Pay taxes, for they are God's ministering, attending, continuing to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due taxes, to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The main thing I want to camp on in that verse is God says if you live in somewhere and they got a taxation type thing, pay your taxes. You remember they tried to trick Jesus one time. They always were trying to trick Jesus. They came to Jesus one time, and of course they wanted Jesus to overthrow the Roman government. They wanted him to be their king. And they came to Jesus and basically, hey, you know, should we pay taxes to Caesar? We don't have this ruler. Should we pay taxes? And Jesus, who's a master teacher, Jesus said, you got some money on you, give me the coin in your pocket. Y'all know, y'all read that. Got some Bible readers in the house. They showed Jesus the coin. He said, now who is this on here? And he said, well, Caesar. He said, well, render to Caesar, brothers and young, what's Caesar? But render to God, what's God? In other words, pay your taxes, but pay your tithes and offerings too. Pay your taxes. Pay your tithes and offerings too. Thank God we have a good giving church. But that's what Jesus said. Pay your taxes. Now we know, I'm the first one to say, I think oftentimes our federal government is one of the most ineptly run places in the world a lot of times. We probably do pay too much taxes, state tax, local tax, federal tax. And don't go out of town and get a hotel room. What's all these taxes? I'm going to exaggerate. About 10 different taxes over here. City tax, this type of tax. What are these taxes? But God said, and the text said, and Jesus said, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. But then also as Christians, this is what else we are called to do. Not only obey our civil authorities, obey those who have authority over us, be it governmental, be it whatever it might be. Also vote. That's our response. We need to vote. And also let your voice be heard in other ways, other nonviolent and legal ways. But also, saints, look at this, verse 8. See, God, he's so comprehensive as he writes to us. He covers a lot of things. Like I said, I'm not able to cover due to time all that he covers in these verses. But look what he says also, since he's told us to obey the governing authority because he put them in place, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. So if you want to say, am I fulfilling the law or not? Do you love one another? For the commandments, here are the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, don't lie, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, they're all summed up in this. You might say, well, I kind of forgot the list. God says they're all summed up in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 22:36. Jesus said this, and we call it the great commandment. The great commandment. When they were asking Jesus, which is the greatest commandment, Sister Cheryl, what's the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? Once again, they always was trying to trick Jesus. And Jesus, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. In other words, give God all you got. And then he said, the second is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he said, all the laws and the prophets hinge on those two things. If you can boil it down and get those two things, guess what? You'll be fulfilling the law. Love God. Here it is. Love God completely. Love others compassionately. Remember that was last week. Love God. Love others compassionately. And then love yourself correctly. Love God completely. Love others compassionately. Love yourself correctly. So it begins with God. It begins with Jesus. If you get that relationship right, you'll be able to get the other relationships right. Then verses 11 through 14, and I'm almost through. And do this, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, here it is, saints, let us cast off the works of darkness. Somebody said, cast off. Cast off the works of darkness. One translation, another place said, deeds of darkness. And let us put on, somebody said, put on the armor of light. Ephesians 6 calls it the full armor of God. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, and not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and enemy, but put on, somebody said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ. As we are going through these very turbulent times, and I just call them the Donald Trump years, as we're going through these very turbulent times, put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. If in the next political election your quote-unquote person get put in the office, guess what? Still put on Jesus. If President Obama was your man and you voted for him, guess what? You still should have put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. Again, we put our trust in the Lord, not in man, not in some political party, not in some earthly system. We put our trust and faith in Jesus. We put our trust and faith in God. So put on Jesus. Don't make provision for the flesh, the text says. Some sins, talks about strife and talks about lust and envy and drunkenness and some other things of the flesh that can get us through, like stress and worry. Don't be worrying about who's in the White House. Worry about, we don't put our trust in the White House. We put our trust in God's house. In the 90s, let me just get this perfect illustration. Fits good right here in the 90s. I had gone through a Christian leadership class downtown and with some other leaders. And what they did, every couple of weeks, they would bring in different Christian guys to speak to us to try to give us a biblical worldview on maybe finances, on politics, or whatever. But do you know, every time they got to politics, they would always bring in a Republican. Now, I try to vote the candidate, you know, but it's like they were saying only Republicans are Christians and all the Democrats are not Christians. I'm like, man, that's wrong. That's really sin. That's wrong. But if we're not careful, we can get caught up in that on the other side, maybe. And so much so, some people who name the name of Christ get so caught up in a political alignment, be it Democrat or be it Republican, that when their man doesn't get in there, it's like all is lost. And so in the late 90s, when Bill Clinton beat one of the Bushes. But anyway, when he won, a friend of mine who was working for this Christian organization. Now, this is just a political campaign, right? Somebody got to win. Somebody got to lose, right? Somebody going to win. Somebody going to lose, right? Your man ain't going to win every time, right? He ain't going to lose every time. Just because former President Clinton won, that next morning, my Christian friend would tell me that the whole office that he worked in was like in mourning. And he said he had to just set up and tell them, wait a minute, is not Christ still risen? I hope it's not built on Bush or Clinton or Obama or what's the other guy up there now? Trump? I hope it's built on God. I hope it's built on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We need to pray for our leaders, whoever they are. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. But our hope is not on them. Are there little policies they try to get through or can't get through or whatever? 13:1, whoever's in authority, whoever it is, God allowed it. God allowed it. So what's our response? Once again, pray for them. You obey the civil authority as long as it doesn't go against the word of God. Give you a good example, like when Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, when he was down in Babylon, they was kind of going along with the rules, if you will, down in a foreign pagan land. But finally, they started talking about stuff like, well, you got to bow down to the king. Well, you got to worship this idol. They said, no, we don't. You can throw us in the lion's den. You can throw us in the fiery furnace, but we will not bow down. So there comes a time when a Christian, when we can say, no, we won't do this. Give you a good example. In Canada, they're doing this now. In Canada, there have been reports that some preacher, some pastor, literally gotten arrested, the reports say, because of preaching the Bible. Like maybe they might be preaching a passage that maybe goes against and maybe says that, same-sex marriage is wrong, right? And so they end up getting arrested. So guess what? If a mandate comes down from Washington, D.C., or comes down from the mayor's office and they say, hey, Christian churches, preachers and pastors can't preach against, I'm just using that as an easy example, same-sex marriage. Guess what? As I'm going through the Bible, if it's in the Bible, I'm going to preach against it or on it or whichever. So you know, at that point, I don't bow down to the civil authority. I bow down to God's authority. So when there's a contradiction, you always bow down to God, right? But if there is not, you know, we are called to obey those who have authority over us. Now, we wouldn't want our little kids talking about, well, dad and mama, I don't agree with that. I ain't going to obey. All right, go give me that belt. Let me get that belt, that switch. You can disagree all you want to. But I'm the authority. So we're called. Even though, again, as long as it's not violating the scriptures, the word of God, even though we may not agree with the policy, might not like that or whatever, but if it doesn't cross the line of scripture, we are called to go along with it, if it will. But we don't put our trust in them. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our trust in King Jesus. I'm glad to know that I'm glad to know that even during through the years, do my voting, that all the time my person doesn't get in there. But I'm glad if my person doesn't get in there, I'm not all, woe is me. I did my part. I voted. I pray for the. And then sometimes, you never know, sometimes the person that got in there worked out better than the person you voted for or would have voted for. Sometimes. You just had to control. So we put on Jesus, the one who is Alpha and Omega. We put on Jesus, the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We put on Jesus, the one who is our provider. We put on Jesus, the one who is our protector. We put on and we trust in Jesus, the one who does give us food when we are hungry, who does water when we are thirsty. We put on and we trust in Jesus, the one who is indeed our bridge over troubled water. We trust in Jesus, the one who indeed us up out of the muck and the mire. No president ever came and pulled me up out of the muck and mire. Christ did that. God did that. Jesus did that. So we put our trust in him, the one who is going to consummate everything, the one who one day is going to rule and reign forevermore. We put our trust in him. You know, we're just graveyard travelers. We're just passing through. Now, we ought to impact this culture while we're here. We ought to be salt and light to make a difference. But guess what? This thing is winding up. We're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. When we walk out there and touch planet earth, when we walk out of here in a few minutes, guess what? That earth we standing on, one day it's going to be gone. We're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to send his fire and consume it and going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. But while we're here, let's make a difference. And while we're here, as it relates to our relating to government, as it relates to our relating to be it the president, be it governor, be it mayor or whomever, obey the governing authorities as long as it doesn't go against it. They don't go against the word of God. While we're on earth, we in this democratic political system, make sure you go vote. Make sure you go vote. Why are you here? While we on earth in this democratic system, use your freedom of speech. You know, there are times you need to speak up about certain things. Sometimes you just have to go. You know, I can think of this. I won't go into detail. But one time, there was a little situation going on at the school where Ariana attends. And so I just had to go down to the school. And I had to talk to the principal. You know, y'all know I'm kind of laid back. But I had to talk to the principal just kind of one-on-one, get some stuff kind of hashed out. Then after that, ever since then, he's been my best buddy. Just be emailing me, calling me. So, man, hold on, slow up, man. So, you know, just do what God is leading you to do. That's all I'm saying. Do what God is leading you to do as it relates through the word of God. But make sure as we address all of these things that are going on in the U.S., all these things that are going on in our life, we, as people of the word, as people of God, we want to make sure we address them biblically. So we can't throw away Romans chapter 13. I can't say, well, I don't like so-and-so, I'm not going to do it. No, you just go along with it as long as they're not causing you once again to sin or do something that's displeasing to God. Y'all with me this morning? And pray for them. I've been saying that, but pray. So obey the authorities. Vote. Let your voice hear. And pray. I just oftentimes when I get to preaching, I just had to, whatever the Lord tells me to do and say, I have to be more transparent. Be transparent. Probably for the present president, I don't really pray for him like I should. So I need to pray for him. You know, quite frankly, I need to pray for him probably more than any other president. So that's what we can do. I said, that's what we can do. And that's going to help me grow as a Christian. Pray for him. Put on Jesus. Trust Jesus. Our trust is in him. Not in a political party. Not in a particular governmental setup. We thank God for the democracy. Thank God for America. But again, we don't put the flag above the cross. We don't put any president above Christ. Our hope, the people of God, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in God. And we trust him as he uses us in the process. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we do thank you today. We thank you, Father. I pray that what was said today, dear God, was heard and interpreted to correct and appropriate way, dear God. We want to approach everything from a biblical perspective, be it the government, be it the presidency, be it our senators, be it our governors or whomever else, dear God. We want to approach it from your point of view. So, dear God, give us clarity as we live out our Christian faith in the workplace, as we live out our Christian faith in the midst of politics, as we live out our Christian faith in whatever spheres we walk in. Keep us clear, dear God, of what you would have us to do, of what you would have us to say, of what you would have us even to think. Oftentimes, all of us get pretty opinionated on certain things, and It's okay to have certain opinions, but Father, let us always come back to Christ, come back to your word, come back to your voice. And be the people who give some clarity in these areas. Many people are confused, dear Lord. So clear up our thinking. That we might give a word of wisdom. A word of instruction. A word of guidance to those who need that, dear God. So guide us, Father. And even today, dear God, even now as I pray. As I talk about systems and hierarchy and who's in charge. You are in charge. So even this morning, dear Lord, there may be some here today who have not surrendered their life to you. They haven't quote unquote bowed their knee to Christ. They haven't said, I want you to be in charge of my life. So dear God, if there are some amongst us today who have not come into your saving knowledge, draw them today. Pluck them today. Bring them out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you, dear God, for being who you are. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand if you can stand. There may be someone here this morning. This is the most important thing you would have heard me say this morning. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, You need to come today. We can explain the gospel to you, how Christ, God, loved you so much, loved me so much. He sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus lived a perfect sin-free life, died on Calvary's cross, was buried, but he rose again with all power in his hands. So you can come today for salvation.